Welcome, welcome once again. You are with your favorite crew, the Sports Authority, and other stuff. And it is playoff week in the NFL, I mean, in the NHL, I'm sorry. It is also playoff week in the NBA, the association. It has been a long time coming. As a Bulls fan, I am not exactly excited about it. But with that said, it is still the NBA playoffs. We've also had the beginning of the Major League Baseball season. It's off to a decent start. My White Sox got off to a nice little start. They come down a little bit the last few games, but baseball is back in full and total effect. So, with all that said, before we go any further, let me bring my man Harris in to the party. What's going on, baby? How you doing this evening?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, man. Remember the rule, no baseball talk until June.
Yeah, I know. I was filling time waiting for you to get settled.
Oh, okay. Well, I am settled. That was the filler, huh?
Yeah, man, dude, sometimes, hey, when you can't dance, sometimes you end up, just break dancing with your arms and just doing that little thing when your arm hangs. You know it's out of style, but, it's what you know.
It still works.
You just go with what you know. Yeah, you just
fair enough.
The oldie but goodie. The oldie but goodie. With that said, Paris, real quick, I'm going to get this out the way early because I know that most of our listeners don't really keep up with it. But I'm going to give a quick rundown, Paris, of the Stanley Cup playoffs so we can get to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
In the NHL, you've got the Dallas Stars with a 2-1 lead over the Minnesota Wild. You have the Blues with a 2-1 lead over our Blackhawks. That game comes on tonight, NBC, the NBC Sports Channel, Paris. So if you're looking for that, that's where you'll find it. You have the Predators with a 2-0 lead on the Anaheim. It's the Ducks out there, right? Anaheim Ducks. You've got the San Jose Sharks with a 2-1 lead over the Kings. And you got the Islanders 1-1 with the Penguins. The Caps, who were the best team in the NHL this year, if you're looking at points, they are about to sweep Philly the way it looks. They're up 3-0. The Tampa Bay Lightning are up 2-1 over Detroit. And you have a 2-1 lead for the Islanders over the Preds, over the Nashville Predators. So that's what we're looking at hockey. I know a lot of cats really aren't into hockey. And I personally, Paris, I think a lot of brothers are missing out. If you're not a hockey fan, I will admit watching the regular season can be a little arduous for you. But if you want to watch some good hockey, check out the playoffs because it's all intensity all the time. It's definitely a good way to get interested in the sport. But with that said, we are about to jump right into it, Paris. NBA playoffs off to a nice start. You have a couple of stories. You have Steph with the ankle. You have OKC giving it up to Dallas. You had Boston making a big comeback against Atlanta, but still falling short. So far, what have you seen, Paris, in this NBA playoffs that has either impressed you or depressed you?
Not been impressed by any team yet. The teams that should be winning are taking care of business. Well, except for OKC. But we all knew Dallas was going to get one, but we'll get to those guys a little bit later. The only team I would say is unimpressive so far would have to be Houston, only because, you expected Golden State to win. I think Golden State's beaten them, 13 out of the last 14 or 14 out of the last 15 games or something like that. I mean, that's an historically good team that they're playing. So, you knew that Golden State was going to win a series. But you watch Houston play, and they're playing like a team that really can't wait for the offseason to start. Like, they sort of made the playoffs, but in the back of their mind, I think they'd all rather be somewhere on the beach right now. They're the only team that's sort of disappointing, even though, when you see the teams get blew out, like Dallas got blown out, that's never a good thing. The Grizzlies, no Marc Gasol, no Mike Conley. For heaven's sake, they're starting to Birdman and Jordan Formar. You know, they're really counting on Vince Carter. So that just lets you know where they are. I mean, it is what it is with those guys.
And back to the Houston thing, you know, you got to wonder, when you look at them on paper, I'm not going to sit here and say that you look at them and think they're a great team, because anybody that watches basketball, and you watch much more NBA hoops than me, but anybody that watches basketball knows that they have some holes. They have some talent, but they have some holes. And you have to wonder, and I'm going to ask you your opinion. This is a question, but I'm really asking your opinion. You have to wonder, Paris, what is Houston going to do to close the gap? Because no matter what they've done, it hasn't gotten them over the hump. They bring in James Harden, can't get over the hump. They got D12, can't get over the hump. Michael Beasley was a decent late-season addition. Still, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to get over the hump. What can they do to make their team better besides just getting rid of Josh Smith? Because I never thought that was a good look anyway.
You know, I'm not sure. I'd have to sit there and look at their cap situation. But obviously the D12 thing isn't going to work. I think it starts with James Harden, myself. Well, let's back up real quick. First of all, and, you know, we talked about this last year, and I didn't say it as in taking any shots, but that team overachieved last year. That really wasn't a Western Conference Finals type of team. They really weren't. You know, they you know, got some breaks in the playoffs. Hey, you got to take advantage of the breaks you get. And the Clippers had that colossal 3-1 lead meltdown. CP2 once again reared his ugly head. But that really wasn't a Western Conference Finals team. And some of the fans and some of the media, I think, sort of bought into it. And it's for them to compete this year with Golden State or maybe go to the next level, where I think they really are like a 7th, 8th seed, one-and-done type squad. Because they just have holes. Okay. You know, last year, you know, guys like Ronnie Brewer sort of had – you know how those role players have those years that they always seem to have in contract seasons? And then you give them a contract, and then they go back and they make you go, okay, why the heck did we do this? Sort of like how Mike Dunleavy did to us, where you go, hey, man, this guy's a valuable piece. You know, let's keep him around. And as soon as you give him a little bit of change and keep him around, you're going, why the heck did we do that? This guy is a bum. You know, they had a couple of those guys. The point guard situation – remains in flux, you know. I think Daryl Morey, and, you know, maybe we can get into this later, I think he's one of the more overrated GMs, honestly. Because if you look at it, you know, if you look at the point guard situation, he's completely screwed that up since he's been there. And you stuck with a guy like Patrick Beverley, you know. And, right. You know, they tried for, you know, with the Ty Lawson thing. Well, that didn't work. And now you have the D12 situation. It's not going to work. Honestly, I'm really not sure. What I think they need another – they need a four that can stretch the floor. I think if they would have got Kevin Love, the much maligned Kevin Love, who I've nicknamed now the Fall Guy. That's his new nickname. He's the Fall Guy.
Hold
on, never don't go right.
See, I can get that reference because I'm your age. There's some people who have no idea who Lee Majors is, Paris.
That's – well, they'll just have to look him up on the internet. they'll have to look up the show on the internet, but he's the Fall Guy.
Okay.
If they need a guy like that, I think, to stretch the floor, you have to figure out James Harden, and I've said it before, and I said it again, is he a talented player again? There's no denying that. I mean, you know, the guy can play, he's talented, but he's the type of guy that I know I would never want to play with because he does so many things that just drives you crazy. And when your best player and your leader shows a complete neglect on one side of the floor, it's going to carry out to the rest of the team. You know, nobody's asking him to go out there and be Tony Allen because that's not his job. You know, you understand that. You know, there's different roles for guys in the NBA. You understand a guy like Tony Allen, hey, that's your job. You're really only going to score maybe 8 to 10 points, but we're going to sick you on somebody and you hold them down. And, you know, you can live with that. But what James Harden does effort-wise, defensively, it's really appalling. And things like that, it's demoralized. Because how can you, if your best player doesn't try to at least set any tone, as a coach, Bernie Bickerstaff, you know, how can he really hold anybody else accountable?
Well,
how
you know,
can he really
Paris,
jump on
I
somebody else for
before.
Not making a rotation?
You and I have discussed
that before.
Right.
You know, how can
before.
You say that?
It's,
yes, how can
it's
you do
one
that?
Thing to have a guy that it's one thing to have a guy that can't play defense. It's another thing to have a guy that won't play defense. And there's a big difference between for us as Bulls fans watching Doug, you know, Doug McDermott struggle but try, or watch other players, James Harden in this case, just kind of stand there and watch the guy go past. And you can't say that he doesn't have the ability. And I say that because defense to me is about, first of all, it's about heart, it's about want, and it's about footwork to a point. And with the moves he makes offensively, you know he has the footwork. And the fact that he can get around people and by people, you know he has the foot speed. So then it just falls down to will and want. And at some point you have to ask, does this guy want to play defense? And if you're asking me, the answer is no.
And until he cleans that up a little bit, you know, and just puts forth an effort, then you have to question whether that team will ever have any type of success. But I think that in a way,
that,
Carter,
that
you know,
team
he does
or that
thing,
team with him. That team or
that
team,
team
with
him.
Him.
That team
okay.
with him. But I think he's one of those guys, so that I think it's hard because, you know, he does a lot on offense. And he goes through those stretches where he'll go through, you know, he'll have like a 20-game stretch or a 10-game stretch where he'll average 28 and 8 or, you know, he'll for a week he'll average 32 and 10. And you got all these people, you know, you got the guys in the sports group posted, how can you say he's not the best two guard, you know, beer this, beer that. But when it gets down to it and when the rubber hits the road, he sort of leaves you going, I really don't know about this guy. Now, he's still a young player. He can figure it out. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he has to figure it out. So what those guys are going to do, we know D12 is going to be gone. So I think they will try to look for a big man that's another floor stretcher type, maybe an Al Horford type of guy. Hopefully JB will call in and give us his thoughts on what he thinks they should do. You have to look at doing something with the point guard. But I've said it a couple of times, is there really a need in having a point guard when James Harden plays point guard?
Not a ball in hand point guard. Not a ball in hand point
guard. So what do you need? I mean, do you say to heck with it and just move him permanently to point guard and find you maybe a defensive-minded sort of shooting guard? I don't know.
I mean,
is that an option? Just go ahead on and just – I mean, he's a point guard now.
I think that's an option, but I think, I mean, right. I mean, it's kind of like, again, for us, kind of like when Mike controlled the ball. And he wasn't a quote-unquote point guard, but he ran the show. And when Mike was at point, what did he have, like 7 triple-doubles in a row at one point? And even when he
something
wasn't officially
like that,
the point guard, and even when he wasn't officially the point guard, he still had the ball in his hand. And so what kind of point guards did the Bulls have? They had, you know, John Paxson, spot-up shooter. They had B.J. Armstrong, spot-up shooter. Steve Kerr, Craig Hodges, spot-up shooter.
B.J. Armstrong.
So that's what – well, let me ask you this. How big of a loss for Houston was, and I'm having a brain cramp, my man that went to Dallas?
Chandler Parsons?
How big of a loss was Chandler Parsons? Because you're referring to a stretch four. But I don't know that he was necessarily quote-unquote a four, but he did stretch the floor. How big of a loss was Chandler Parsons to what you're saying?
Well, he's a guy that you could play at the four. But he it got to a point. Remember, he was the guy that when they were doing the whole thing, when they were going after Carmelo Anthony, and he was sort of in that limbo status. And they were going after Melo, and it was one of those deals. Well, if we get Melo, we can say bye to you, and then that's when he signed with Dallas. So I think Morey sort of took a chance there. Sort of what I'm anticipating could maybe happen in Golden State with Harrison Barnes, but we'll get to that later, where, you know, you see a team sort of doing one thing and a guy gets sort of turned off by it and goes elsewhere. I think if he stays, he actually fits what they were doing. You know, now he's had knee injuries since he's went to Dallas. You know, can you really predict that? No, you really can't.
No.
But I
all
think
we can
he
do is
actually
talk
fit.
Potential for potential.
Yeah. I think he actually fit their system. I really do.
Okay.
But then they got Dwight Howard, so that was sort of you know, an offset to that. And you sort of thought, well, Dwight Howard and James Harden, you got inside, you got outside, you thought it would work, but Dwight Howard has sort of laid down on those guys. And Charles Barkley said something last night, and it was actually a pretty good observation by him, but you know how them dudes are usually being funny. But
right.
They, after the game, they were talking about Kenny the Jet. You know, the Jet was saying how Houston doesn't run play. And Barkley was saying, I beg to differ. He said they have plays, but they just, when they get in the game, they don't do it. He's like, because there's no way in heck that they're practicing, and in practice, the play is, okay, James, you bring the ball up every time, dribble, 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 and we all go sit here and look at you, and maybe you do a pick and roll with Dwight while he dives, but everybody else just sort of stand here and look, and maybe you might get the ball and shoot a three. He's like, I know that's not what they're practicing. But as soon as they get into a game, that's what happens. And then, you know, you like you mentioned, Josh Smith and Michael Beasley, now you're just bringing in pieces. And I'm really not sure what Bernie's doing, because you brought in Michael Beasley sort of because Josh Smith wasn't giving you nothing.
Right.
Now, I'm not the world's biggest Beasley fan, but, you know, the dude can't put the ball in the bucket every now and then. You know, that's his thing. But now here it is, playoffs, and instead of going with Beasley, who plays some good ball for you down the stretch, now you're going back to Josh Smith, which
doesn't make sense to me. Josh Smith is, I mean, this is just my opinion, Paris. Josh Smith has a skill set, and I don't even know, because I haven't watched much Houston. Let me say he had, and you feel free to correct me, and I will not debate nor argue.
Yeah, because Josh Smith had
a skill set of being a defensive player. He could block some shots. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, he did some things in the paint. I don't even know that he still has that in him anymore. Like I said, I won't debate you. If you say he doesn't, then I'll go with that. But
they're paying
him way too much money for the little bit that he provides. And I think one of the moves they have to do is try to find somebody that's foolish enough to take that contract. I think that's a start. Get him off your roster because he's dead weight, and he's a high-priced dead weight at that. So
I don't think his contract was actually that bad, because you remember the Clippers signed him late last year to a veterans minimum type deal. So I think he really might only be making like $2 or $3 million. Honestly, that's how far he's fallen.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah, and I want to say it might have only been for 1 year, maybe.
Okay.
It really wasn't a good deal.
And they won't have to worry about it. But let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's go into another discussion about this that I want to ask you about, and then we're gonna keep moving.
Okay.
The other issue about this series that we haven't discussed is the fact that Curry didn't even play last night, and Houston didn't really appear to give themselves a chance to win that game. You know, I was talking to my father today, and you know, he said something that I happen to agree with. He said the team they set the record for most wins. If they lose their best player and can't beat the number 8 seed, then you have to wonder if they're really that good. And his point was that Golden State was still supposed to win. That said, I really thought Houston would have made a better effort. What were your thoughts about how that game went without Shep? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, Houston actually sort of hung around, and I want to say it was a 4-point game with about six minutes left. You know, when Maurice Space hit that three in the corner, that was one of those big momentum shots. That was a big – you know how you watch the game and a team is down two and they got a chance to tie and they don't, and then the next team come down and hit a three and go – you know, that just momentum, that was a big momentum shot.
And you just kind of sit back and go,
and you go, and we know the Bulls, we watched it too many times this year. You're like, man, if we can get four here, and Nico would throw one off the glass, and then somebody would come down, and the way we played defense this year, they would shoot a wide open three. Call a timeout, put his hand on his hips, and you would go, that was the shot right there. We won't recover. Well, that was the shot that they never recovered from. But they had chances, but they just looked so discombobulated.
And
you know,
what in your estimation was the reason for that? In your estimation,
I think just not an identity on offense. Honestly, I think not an identity on offense. And quite honestly, and it's you know what like I said earlier, James Harden. I don't think he's the type of guy that even though he's talented and he might need to watch this, but I don't think he's the type of guy that moving forward. Players might not want to really go and play with him. I'll just put it like that. I don't think he's the type of guy where guys would be like, oh yeah, I want to go play with James, because when you watch him play, who wants to play with a dude like that?
Now, let me ask you this, and then we're gonna move on to the next series. And I know this is gonna sound like I'm trying to be funny or like I'm taking a shot, but just the correlation. Kobe took a lot of shots. And his last few years, a lot of Laker fans expected players to just go play with LA. But nobody really went. In your estimation, is what you're saying kind of similar to what Kobe went through? When, yeah, you're a great scorer, but other guys want to shoot and score too. And if they don't see any hope of either A, winning, or B, getting theirs, they're not going to go there? Is that kind of where you're going?
Yeah, actually, I was going to say that name, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to go down that road. Let's let that one go. I don't want to go down that road.
But you get my point.
And like I said, James Harden is still young enough where he can correct it. But I think that's something that he really needs to correct. Otherwise, 2 years from now, you look up, and it's you, the Goon, Trevor Ariza, and a couple other, you know, borderline average guys. and you're like, okay, you know, why can't we get anybody down here? Because Houston, you know, hey, no state tax. What are they? That's like, what, the fourth largest city? I mean, so, you know, I think that's a nice destination. The climate's pretty good. If you like club life, I heard it's nice down there. So I think they would have no problem attracting talent. It's just, do guys want to play with Harden? We'll find out this summer. We'll see this summer.
Fair enough. Well, keeping it moving. Let's move to the Clippers and Portland, keeping it in the West. The Clippers and Portland. The Clippers are up 1-0. What are your feelings on that series so far, one game in?
You know, I made a comment that if the Clippers play the way they should sweep Portland. And, you know, and one of the guys in the group, Thomas Beast, got upset with me. But really, if you look at it, it's a mismatch. Look at that front line. If you look at the front line of the Clippers with Blake and – I'm not a fan of Jeff Green, but Blake and Green and DeAndre Jordan against Plumlee and – Aminu, are you kidding me?
Right.
And CP2 really did undress Lillard that first game. McCollum, welcome to the playoffs. Had a bad first game. I'm sure they'll bounce back. I'm sure that Lillard will be much more aggressive game two. But that's really no contest. It's really not. The Clippers really are a deep team, and when they come off the bench. With, you know, Crawford, the sixth man of the year, award winner again, it's really no contest for Portland.
Okay. Well, that series, like I said, that series stands at 1-0 Los Angeles. I'm assuming they play tonight. Is that a correct assumption to make? They play Sunday?
Tomorrow. No, they play tomorrow.
Dude, I guess I'm still so old school, man. I just don't like all these days off between games. But
and that's another reason why I get tired of the resting thing. Because I'm like, why the heck are you resting? You get to the playoffs, you get more rest than any other time.
Dude, back in the day, what was it? They would start off on like a Friday.
They always
or they play like Friday, Saturday, then have off Sunday, come back Monday, have off Tuesday, come back Wednesday.
Yeah, they used to start off on a Thursday. Yeah, you start off on a Thursday, and then they went to, you know, because I remember the Bulls playing Friday, Saturday. One year we played Atlanta, and I remember both games being in Atlanta. Saturday and Sunday.
I remember the year Jordan came back. I missed the Saturday game against Orlando because I was doing a talent show. I was running a talent show. And I remember being mad at myself for scheduling that talent show, for scheduling my appearance for that talent show on that day. So, yeah, it used to be like real simple. Play two games,
yeah.
Have a day off. But now these cats get two, well, I don't want to say three, but they definitely get 2 days off, and it drags on. Before we go any further, we are going to keep it moving, but looks like one of our regular cats is here. Let me bring him in. 609. That's JB, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here.
What up? What up, fellas?
The Brown Liquor Bandit is in the building.
Yeah, I almost forgot y'all was on tonight. I caught the tail end of the Houston conversation or whatever.
Right. All right, well, did you have an opinion on that?
Yeah.
Or did you want to get right? I know Paris did have a question for you, so we're going to get your opinion, and then we'll get back to Paris on that question he had for you.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we all get, you know, Harden. He is who he is, you know, lazy defender,
right.
Lazy. Lazy, definitely lazy. But on the offense.
Lazy is being nice, but go ahead.
Yeah, it is. But on the offensive end, man, I got to. I mean, I can see why he would say, well, a lot of people would think they wouldn't play with Harden. But, I mean, I watch Houston. I mean, Cat does pass the ball. They just give it back to him. I mean, what is he supposed to do? Have you seen the players?
No.
I mean, they don't.
I disagree, JB. But
I think he passes.
No,
he
because
does.
No. No, one, because
I think he passes
right,
when he runs himself into the corner and can't do nothing.
You're right. Because one of the reasons they do pass him the ball right back, because you're right, they don't have no offense identity. I give you that. It's pretty much him doing that same screen and roll from the top, which is everybody in the league knows that move. But I've seen
right.
him give the ball to cats, and they don't really do nothing by themselves. I mean,
well,
Corey Brewer, Reza, Patrick Goon.
Well,
Patrick,
here's
got
the
me
thing.
Calling him Patrick Goon.
Well, now how much of that goes to Daryl Morey? Because what Morey has built is he has built a team where only one guy can create his own shot. Honestly, Harden is the only person on that team that can really create his own shot. And Beasley, you know, if you want to go crazy with the crazy guy, those are the only two guys on that roster that I would go, these guys are – shot creators. No one else is on that squad. But the way that Harden dominates that ball, you know, it's a fine line in the way you dominate the ball and to keep others involved. Some guys can do
mm-hmm.
it, and it's quick to go on that other side to where you get guys to the point to where they end up watching instead of playing with you. It's a fine line, and it's a talent to do that to where you can keep your teammates engaged no matter what level you play. If you're going to dominate the ball, I don't care if it's pick-up Saturday morning basketball. You have to find – even if you're going to dominate the ball, you have to keep people engaged, or what happens, they will stop. Your big men will stop, and everybody will end up watching you. And that's what happens to Houston quite a bit. They all stop, and they end up watching. You know, D12 stops hustling. Because he's here, heck, I'm not getting the ball anyway, so he'll just shut down on you.
I'm going to make a quick correlation. I remember watching the Bulls, and I remember back when Jordan was playing, when we were coming up, and I remember the announcers always, a lot of times you'd be watching the game, and Jordan would do something, and a pass would hit somebody, in the back of the head. And guys would be like, we thought you were shooting when you went to the air. That's what you do. And
right.
The Bulls got good when Jordan learned to take advantage of his teammates. That's when the Bulls started to excel, when he started to understand what John Paxson was, when Pippen got better and he trusted Pippen to do things. That's when the Bulls got good. And I think Harden is going to be Harden offensively. He's going to be dangerous at all times. But if Harden wants to lead that team to win, I think he has to find a way to make Trevor Ariza a weapon. He has to find a way to make D12 a
Come
weapon.
Come on, man. Trevor Ariza, stop
hey,
it, man.
Trevor Ariza can spot up three. All I'm saying is you've got to take – if you're the leader, you have to figure out what guys do good
and you have to put them in a position to succeed because you doing it on your own ain't getting it done. If you look at those Bulls teams, nobody was scared of Judd Bushler until Michael Jordan learned how to use Judd Bushler. Nobody was scared of those guys. But once Jordan learned where these guys could get the ball and could get buckets, that's when the team started to excel. All I'm saying is, that James Harden needs to find a way to help his teammates excel. He's the leader. That's kind of his job. I mean, it's the coach's job, but on the floor, that's his job as a primary ball handler. That's just my opinion, though.
I get what you're saying, man. I just think some of them cats don't have the abilities to do all of that.
Well, I'd like to know, and I guess that's all I'm saying is I'd like to know. Paris, you had a question for JB, and I don't want to keep going without. So let's do this. Let's flip over to Atlanta and Boston because you had a question in reference to I can't remember what player it was you were asking about, but I figured since we're going to talk about him, we'll talk about that series. Do you remember what your question was for JB? It was about Horford.
Oh, no, I was saying JB. I was saying during this offseason, do you know your guys' cap situation, and what do you think they're going to try to do? Because I told Corey, I think you guys are going to try to go for a big, maybe like a Al Horford type. You know, maybe he might fit better with the Goon. I don't know. Or maybe, you know, another wing player. But what do you think the plan would be? If you were sitting at Maury's desk, what would you do?
Whiteside leaving, so I definitely look for another big. And they got to find, J.B. Bickerstaff, he's done a solid job, but they got to change the philosophy, man. They have got to get somebody on that point guard. James Harden could not have the ball that much. They got to change the philosophy down there somewhat or whatever, but I definitely look for a big or whatever. I was thinking Horford. I thought about him a while ago or whatever, so I don't know if they're going to go that route or whatever. I don't know the whole Whiteside thing or whatever. Apparently Miami can't offer him as much money as other teams. I remember George saying something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. Yeah, because they don't have full bird rights on him because of the way they signed him. So they don't have his bird rights, so there's only a certain amount that they could offer him. I want to say it's about the $6 to $8 million range as the cap is constituted. Now, what Miami would need to do is honestly get Wade to take a severe pay cut to keep Whiteside. So we're going to see how this plays out because if Wade doesn't swallow his pride and if he still wants a decent chunk of change, they honestly just not going to have a chance to match because somebody's going to offer Whiteside at least $15 to $16 million, I think.
Oh yeah,
I think he's gonna get that easy.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even know if Maury gonna stay around after we get swept because he's supposed to be evaluated per the news. I think a while ago.
Might not be his problem, huh?
Yeah, I think he's in trouble. I think he's in trouble. I think he's one of the more overrated dudes because he's one of those dudes that always does stuff. And, you know, people like him because he always does stuff. But I'm like, well, are you doing things? Are you helping or are you just doing things? Like the guy out here in Phoenix who for a couple years was always doing things. And now it's like, hey, man, every time he did something, it sort of didn't work. But when he was doing it, people loved him. You know, it's something about fans that as long as the GM is active, it seems like they love you. And if you don't do nothing, then you're a bum automatically.
There's a thin line between doing nothing and doing a whole lot of nothing.
Yes. we're not gonna do nothing. So that was my take on Houston. And know what? And the way the series is going, I probably wouldn't play Curry until Houston wins the game.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play him until Houston wins the game. I wouldn't.
I would go into game three. I would tell that dude, man, here, you and your lovely wife and your baby, y'all go up there to that little enclosed area up there that we like to call a suite. We don't even want you close to the court. We don't even want you thinking about going in the game. And then if they lose, then you bring them out. And
That's what I would do. But let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. We're going to go ahead to OKC and Dallas. JB, stand by. I'm going to come right back to you, okay?
All right,
cool. Real quick, if you're listening on the Blog Talk website, give us a call, 347-637-3859. If you're one of the people that have already called and are listening to us over the phone, press that number one button if you want to get in and voice your opinion. Paris, let's keep it moving. Like I was saying, OKC, Dallas. You had Dallas with the game to win. We have a 1-1 series. Dallas came back one game two last night at OKC. What are your thoughts on that series right now?
I got a number. The number is 15 for 55, 27%.
Okay.
That is what KD and Russ combined for last night. We all know that KD was 7 for 33, which was completely horrible. You know, I don't know what he was on. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I'm like, I wonder who has missed this amount of shots before, because they said he had tied the record. And I'm like, I bet it was MJ or Kobe. Turns out it was MJ. I'm like, I figured it had to be one of those two. But 7 of 33. But quietly, Russ was 8 of 22. So both those guys had real bad nights. And it was just indicative, you know, first, this whole Russ KD thing, you know, a lot of people like to separate them, you know, Russ, KD, KD, Russ. To me, they're a package deal. You got two top five players, you know, I'm not really going to kill one guy and exonerate one guy. Or to me, they, if it don't work out, they're both superstars. I'm giving 50-50. That's just me. I'm giving 50-50. A lot of people feel like, you know, maybe Russ doesn't get, I mean, KD doesn't get criticized enough or whatever. You know, I don't know about all that. But all I know is, and I think he will start to get criticized because Stephen A. Smith sort of mentioned it this morning, so his time is coming. They're going to win this series.
Yeah.
But what we saw last night is something that I've been saying, you've been saying. I know when we bring JB back in, he's going to say it. And we've all been saying it. Until they do something on offense differently than what they've been doing, even under the Scott Brooks era, and it looks the same
right
under Billy Donovan, then the team only can go so far, because that you just can't win basketball games against good teams in the playoffs. You know, during the regular season, you can get away with that. You know, your two
right
best players can sort of dominate. You know, you're playing weak teams, you know. You're playing Denver and you're playing teams like that. You can get away with it, but this is the playoffs. Everybody's rested. Everybody's locked in defensively. You have good coaches. You have better players. It's hard to win. And I was trying to rewatch the game today and they cut away from it because I was trying to chart, because I heard something Tim Legler said today, so I was trying to chart their possessions. But I know in the fourth quarter when I was watching, I had charted six possessions, and out of those six possessions, there had been a total of two passes on six possessions. You know, they take – and this wasn't even the end of the game. And I know it got bad down the end of the game. You know, those guys come out and they just play ISO basketball. And that's not going to work next round. They're just better than Dallas, so they'll handle Dallas. But that's not gonna feed the Bulldog next round when they play the Spurs. And doggone it, I picked the Spurs to lose in the second round. So I want to, you know, be Negro Domus, so I need them to make that happen. But it don't look like it's going to happen.
Well, I will say this, and then we'll get to the callers. I think another point that you've made, I've made, and you know, I'm sure Gerard probably has, I know Scholar has on a few occasions, is, well, let me say this first. You know how I've for years, I've said numbers don't lie, but they don't always tell the truth.
Right.
When you look at Russ, he puts up some pretty impressive numbers. And what his numbers do at times is they look so pretty. You know, it's kind of like the female, you know, she's really good looking, but you don't know that, you know, she's got some issues. You know, maybe she's not as confident as you would think, because her beauty hides the other quote-unquote flaws. And when you look at Russ, his quote-unquote flaws would be his fourth quarter numbers. And it's not just last night where he had bad fourth quarters. It's not just recently. He's had bad fourth quarters in a lot of games when it mattered most. And I think, to your point, I think one of their problems is that he hasn't been clutch with consistency where they need it. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. You know, you see a lot of people say, you know, Russ got that dog in him. Russ got that dog in him. Well, maybe I'm just old school because, you know, I'm really not impressed by, you know, dancing before a game. I'm really not impressed when you dunk and you, you know, talking to the crowd and you flexing in the first quarter. To me, a dog eats when the game is on the line. That last 5 minutes, that's when you need to be a dog. That's
yep.
when you need to step up. So, you know,
agree.
I'm getting tired of hearing this dog in a foot. And, you know, when you get to be a certain age, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just not impressed by the theatrics. But all that stuff don't do nothing for me. I want to see what you can do in the clutch when the game is on the line. And you can't let Raymond Felton outplay you.
not if you're him.
KD, you have to do something else besides just shoot those long jump shots. You're
right.
7 feet, man. They had Wesley Matthews guard you. You can't get in the paint and get easy looks. And the coach, you know, at one point in time, they called a timeout and they ran a play. They came out of the timeout. And the play design was nice, but the play was Russell Westbrook taking a three. Now, even though the play was nice, do you really want to draw up a play where Russell Westbrook is taking a three? The dude shot about 30% from the three-point line this year. That's not his thing. I'm sure if you told Rick Carlisle, hey, Russell's going to take threes, Rick Carlisle was like, please, everybody back away.
Cool.
That's and it's no shots against Russ, but that's not his thing. It would be like drawing up a three for Derrick Rose. We'd all go, why did you just do that?
You just gave me the bubble guts thinking about drawing up a three for Derrick.
Well, I just wanted to put it in perspective. You know, you wouldn't do that. So why would you draw up for Russell Westbrook?
And I'll say this, and then we'll get to the caller. It's funny, Russ's response to Charlie Villanueva was, and I can't remember exactly, but it was basically the dance and celebrate. This is for starters. This is for people that play. Who was Russ dancing with? Who was Russ dancing with though?
He was dancing with the rookie.
Who doesn't play?
Cameron Payne.
Who doesn't play?
Yeah, but see, he wasn't talking about his partner. He was talking about Charlie Lee.
But see, when you open that door, well, if celebrating and dancing is for people that play, then why is Payne celebrating and dancing? That's the
Charlie
biggest
Lee
thing
don't
he
have
busts
no
all
eyebrows.
Night right there.
Charlie Lee don't have no eyebrows. I'm on Russ' side. I would Russ on this one. When you don't have no eyebrows, you can't say nothing.
Well, man, I'm bringing a caller in. 623 area code. You're on the Sports Authority and other stuff. Who is this?
It's Wood, man.
What's going on,
Wood?
What's going on, baby?
Man, why are you talking about the man eyebrows now? Come on.
Man, dude.
What eyebrows?
Talk to him, Wood. Tell him something. yeah.
I guess I would ask why is Charlie Villanueva even talking, so... You know, that would be
he
my
this is true.
He didn't say, hold up, Charlie didn't say nothing. Dude was dancing in their layup line. He was dancing in their line. Charlie wasn't saying nothing.
He was
in
their
layup
line.
Russ pushed Charlie. Charlie didn't touch Russ. Russ pushed
Charlie.
Now,
see,
that's
disrespectful by Russ then.
And give Charlie credit, he didn't even respond. He didn't push back. He just went on to his line. I got nothing bad to say about Charlie or his eyebrows or lack thereof. I'll leave that to Paris. Well, Paris take all the low blows.
You know, I'll say on the because basketball is not my forte, but I'll say on OKC, it'll be interesting to see how much long they can keep that tandem together because somebody's going to have to go. I think Westbrook sometimes, he's a good player like Paris was saying, but sometimes that guy disappears at the wrong moments. That's just my opinion. But as far
there's
as like,
a lot of people
on the soccer front tonight, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. I just said that's a lot of people's opinions. But we agree with you.
Yeah. on the soccer front, I got a little story that the women's soccer team, the U.S. women's soccer team, might go on strike. They're talking about it. And it primarily has to do with money. They
right.
are vastly underpaid like the men, even though their success has been greater. They've earned more money for U.S. soccer. The Lottie, who is in charge of U.S. soccer, said, well, yeah, okay, you're supposed to make more money than them. But the women are like, you know, like, hey, we're going to keep playing, but we should be paid equally. You know, like the men's per diem is like $5,000. The women's per diem is like $1,200. And the men make significantly more because, one, their league pays them more. Their leagues pay them more. The women's league seems to be, it's defunct 1 year and it's active the next. So the current
right.
league that's going, the NWSL that's going right now, who knows if it'll be around in 2 years. But I think the women have a valid point. I think that, you know, they've had a greater success on the world soccer stage. When you think U.S. soccer, you ask them around the world, I'll say 99 out of 100, they're going to think the women's team. They're not going to mention the men's team, you know. And to that, U.S. soccer has, you know, they need to get off the ball and go and pay these girls. Because not because it's, men or women equal rights, but the women have basically earned it. They've won 3 World Cups. They've earned it. So, you know, and most of the time when it comes to World Cup, we're looking at the women to win. We don't expect the men to win. Men, you make it to the quarterfinals. Oh, yeah, you did good. Yeah, good. But now when it comes to the women, we expect them to win. And when they don't, like they did in 2011, a lot of people were seriously disappointed. So I think that they need to go on and pay them. And it's something I'm going to try to get you some info next week. I was looking at
okay.
MLS and how it's supposed to be a homegrown league. But yet I'm starting to see a trend where there's a lot of foreign players playing. And, you know,
right.
they were talking about, oh, MLS is going to be a promotion of U.S. soccer. We're going to promote, you know, up-and-coming kids. They do here and there. But when you look at a team, and I need to go and do some research on this because I just was thinking about this morning, how many U.S. players are actually on the starting roster and playing week in and week out? That would be my question, because a lot of teams that I see, like I was watching Orlando yesterday. Orlando has a lot of foreigners. They may have a couple of U.S. guys there, but I don't think it's in the 70-30 range or 60-40 range. I think it's in the reverse of foreign players, and I know a lot of teams are like that. So I need to check on that a little bit more before I comment more on it. But MLS has kicked off. The EPL is going strong. One thing to watch is the UEFA Champions League semifinals. You got 4 good matchups. Man City's playing Real Madrid. Atletico Madrid is playing Bayern. Now, the twist, it would have been a good twist had Bayern been matched with Man City, because Pep Guardiola is the current coach for Bayern. He's moving to Man City next year. So, essentially, Manuel Pellegrini, who's the coach of Man City, is dead man walking. Because it doesn't matter what he do, he's gone. You know, even if he's going to get Man City into the Champions League for next year, he could possibly win the Champions League this year, and then he's going to be gone. And then Guardiola's going to take over that when he leaves Bayern at the end of the summer. So, EPL's coming down to it. Tottenham's closing the gap to 5 points over Leicester. I think if Leicester slips up again, I think Tottenham can get them. I watched them play yesterday. I think right now they're the most complete team in the EPL playing right now. They're very aggressive. They got a good young squad, good young manager running them. And I think that they can, if they pull it off this year, I think they'll be strong for the next 2-3 years, depending on if they can keep their players and other teams don't come in with big money and poach them away. What they can be susceptible to in the transfer league.
All right. I'm looking forward to Bayern Munich. I want Bayern Munich to win. And I really do want Real Madrid to get rid of Man City.
Yeah,
and I want Bayern
like
Munich
to
be
too.
I want Bayern Munich to be Real Madrid and that doggone stacked team they got over there. That's my only hope. Because I don't like that team, because I just feel like they have everything, and I want to watch them lose.
Well, they struggled against Wolfsburg. I didn't see the Wolfsburg game, but they came back, and I think they got a couple of luck. They did get a – I think they got one or two lucky calls that went their way. But I think that even if Real does get to the final against Bayern, I would put Bayern over Real as well. And I'm gonna, and the reason I would be is I think Guardiola is – he's a great coach, and he's coached against Real before when he was running Barcelona. So he knows how to beat him. And I don't think – I think Bayern's front line matches up is going to be a little too strong for the Real back line because Lewandowski is a handful and Müller is going to be a handful for him as well. The only difference is right now is that Real's midfield might be a little bit stronger than Bayern's, but I would give the edge to Bayern in that matchup.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything because I'm not giving Wood a chance to get a shot at me this week.
Wood, you.
I'm just going to say thank you, Wood. Once again, he would not let us give him his proper introduction as our soccer expert. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it there. And then I'm going to walk away from the post.
So to speak. I'm done.
Hey, and the Euros will be coming up in 2 months, so June, I'll get you some more on that as it gets closer. And about who the I don't, like I said, I don't think there's any group of deaths, but right now I'd have to give the edge to Germany, even though they haven't played well in the last few games. I still have to give the edge to Germany. They're the defending World Cup champions, and until they don't show up in the tournament, you got to give them the edge. Because in friendlies, I think they kind of like, whatever, it's not serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just out here having fun. But when it's time to turn it on, I think they'll turn it on because in qualifying, nobody could touch it. So I don't think anybody can beat her. I don't see the English. The English are probably fall out by the group stage. They got too many issues. The Spanish are getting old. The Belgians, people from Belgium. I give them a slight. They're probably the number two, number three favorite, because, and then you gotta think about France because it is being played in France. They play better at home, and I think they'll be in the last round too. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens in when the tournament kicks off in June.
All right, Wood. We appreciate you, brother, once again, our soccer expert on the Sports Authority and other stuff.
Man,
we're trying
to make you an expert too, Corey, man. Come on now. Get with it now. Come
hey,
on, dog.
I play the game on the Xbox and the PlayStation. Well, the Xbox. I play it on the Xbox. And I watch. I'm learning the game. I'm trying to learn the game before I worry about liking certain players and all of that. I'm just trying to learn the game.
I'll tell you what.
I don't want to be on your cable provider. Oh no, I watch it. Comes on Saturday mornings here.
No. Listen to me. Do you have BN Sports on your cable provider?
I've never even heard of it. So if I do, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, what you need to do is you need to see if you have BN Sports. They show the Spanish league, but that's not what I'm telling you. There's a show called The Keys and Gray Show. You watch that the first 30 minutes, and you'll get a lot of information there.
Do me a favor.
Little insight.
Post it in the group, so I know exactly what I'm looking for, and I'm gonna check it out. Because even if I can't find it in the society we live in, I should be able to find it online or something, YouTube or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, do that for me. Post it in the group or send me a message, and I'll definitely check it out. I'll definitely check it out.
Well, I'm going to send you a message because I know you're not going to read it in the group.
If you tag me, I'll read it. If you tag me, I'll check it out. I wouldn't ask you to do it and not read it. That would be ignorant. I-G-N-I-T, ignorant.
Ignorant.
Exactly.
Y'all talked about the draft yet?
No, I was gonna tell you. Call in next week, and Corey don't do it yet. But we gonna do a full first round mock next week.
Okay.
AKA Corey's gonna read something. A.K.A. Corey is going to be reading picks from Sports Illustrated or ESPN Magazine or Yahoo or
No, Corey,
ESPN.
We'll see, Corey, the way we're going to do it, it's going to be fluid. One of us is going to have odd numbers, one of us is going to have even, and we're going to do the draft live. And we're going to go down each team and draft it that way.
He said so that, ready, so my strategy changed.
Was, okay. So was that hey Paris, was that a good move by the Rams or a bad move?
I think it was a horrible move to give up that much to move up. You gave up two number ones,
way,
two twos,
way
and
too
three.
Many holes.
And that's my main thing. When I look at the Rams offensively, they are horrible, except for Mr. Gurley. I know the Austin dude, you know, that's your little scat back. You know, he gets reverses. He gets like 5-6 of those each year. But otherwise, they have no wide receivers, no tight end, and a couple of holes on the offensive line. So I'm just not sure if that's the type of team where you go all in like that. And I just find it ironic that Jeff Fisher made fun of Washington for doing it with, you know, with RG3, and then he turned around and did it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out for him.
Yeah, I mean, really, and I don't remember them signing anybody in free agency.
They really didn't. No one of note, per se.
Well, he must have convinced Kroenke that this is an all-in, you know, five-year plan, and when they start, as they start in L.A.
No, all this is they want to get a name to go into their new stadium in their new city. That's all this is, in my opinion. It's just
yep,
to say
yeah,
all this.
It's got to be. They ain't, but you know
because,
L.A. fans
because
are fans,
they,
man.
They
see
have
the name,
way
but,
too many holes.
I mean, they don't see the name, but, you know, L.A. fans, if you ain't winning, they're not going to show up.
Well, if we're being honest, when they were winning, some of them don't show up. We're being
that's
honest.
That's true, too. That
honest.
Is true,
I mean,
too.
There's a reason the Raiders have left there before. They can't feel that, man, they, you know. We'll see, though. We'll see. All right, well, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome, man.
All right, now. Okay, Paris, it's always good to have Wood come on and spit that soccer knowledge. And for those that missed
yes,
it
is.
Earlier, I gave a little hockey discussion. I watch hockey, but a lot of people don't. But earlier, gave a little hockey information. The Blackhawks are actually getting ready to come on. Oh, and the White Sox got the bases loaded up 2-0 over Anaheim. With Avi Garcia, and like I said,
double play.
They're coming on the NBC Sports Channel, so I'm looking forward to that matchup starting off. But let's get back to this playoff series so we can keep moving, Paris. Let's go ahead and move to San Antonio, Memphis. This is going to be short and sweet for me, Paris. It's San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
It's Memphis. I expect a sweep unless San Antonio just gets bored one game. That's all I got to say. What are your thoughts on that series?
As I said in the sports group, nothing to see here. What's the next series?
Cool. Let's keep it moving. Real quick, because we have some new callers online, if you want to jump in, don't forget you have to hit that number one button to get on the show. All right. That's it for the West. Let's move over to the East. And let's start off with Toronto, Indiana. What is your thought process right now? That series is 1-1. Indiana got the split in Toronto. Where are you on that series?
I got another number for you.
You got a lot of numbers tonight, brother.
17 for 63, 26%. That is the combined field goal percentage of Toronto's vaunted backcourt. Now,
DeMar DeRozan is disappearing once again?
Yes, and so is Fat Lowry. He'll always be Fat Lowry. I don't care how much weight he lose. He'll always be Fat Lowry because he just played like a fat boy. And they can't afford – that's what I said. They cannot afford to lose this series and go out for the third year in a row in the first round as a higher seed. If they do lose, they are going to get Dwayne Casey fired. I honestly believe so. They're going to get him fired.
And if the GM is smart, he also has to know that somebody has to be moved. Something has to be changed. You can't just change the coach and expect
the team has holes in it because when you look up front, Valanciunas, he looks real good against Indiana because their front line is sort of soft. But they're sort of soft up front. I mean, power forward, when you run in Lewis Scola out there, you know, Damari Carroll, he's not all the way back. He's still on a minutes restriction from his injury. So they're really thin at the power forward position, really, really thin there. They almost basically don't have one between Patrick Patterson and, you know, and Luis Scola, who's almost as old as me, and that's not good to be in the NBA.
I really do think this is going to be a seven-game series.
And when it gets to seven, anybody can get it. PG came out, played real good the first game. When you look at Indiana, sometimes you go, how the heck did they make the playoffs? Because besides Paul George, it's like, and we'll get to him in the offseason because it has to be only a matter of time before he walks into Larry Bird's office and goes, so when am I going to get my running mate? Because that team is just, you know, there's really nothing there. You know, Monte Ellis, if he had Monte Ellis 5 years ago, maybe that helps. You know, we've already talked about the point guard enough. They got the young kid, Turner. He shows promise, but it's still going to take him a couple years. He's so young, you know, fully developing. Now the second game, he barely played after starting the first game because it was just too physical for him. So now he knows this summer, okay, I got to get in the weight room because this is a man's game, especially in the playoffs because the refs don't call as much. And Valanciunas was basically throwing him around like a rag doll. But competitive series, which is all you can ask for, it'll go seven. Toronto should win.
Well, I picked Toronto to win that series, and I'm not going to back off that. I think at the end of the day, the one thing you said is what scares me about Indiana is that it's Paul George and then it's just a bunch of dudes. And,
yes,
you know, that'll get you a win here or a win there, but you have to wonder if that's good enough to get them four wins. And so now you're putting the ability of everybody else other than PG to score against Toronto's inability to shoot, at least so far. And I'm going to put my money on Toronto until further notice because I just can't see – I just don't think Indiana has enough to win, you know, four games out of that series. There's a reason they were the number seven seed. Not saying that they can't do it because Toronto, as you stated, has disappointed us before and has lived down to expectations, so to speak. So – anything is possible. Like you said, once you get to a game seven, all bets are off. But I'm still going to ride with Toronto. Let's move to the next series. Let's go Miami and Charlotte. I picked Miami. I'm pretty confident, if I recall, you picked Miami. Miami's up 1-0 in that series. What did you take, if anything, from game one? It was a blowout, roughly, if I can't remember the exact score, but roughly 30-point win. So
I'm sure Charlotte will play better next game. Clifford to get them ready to play. They have to slow the game down. They have to make the game nasty, sort of like Dallas did last night. And just, you know, muck the game up and try to seal it at the end because they don't have the talent that Miami has. And they have to do something with Whiteside down there because he's sort of being a handful. I expect for Kimba to play better. Batum played a good game. I've never been a fan of Marvin Williams. And when Marvin Williams is your starting four, you're in trouble. Between Marvin Williams and Courtney Lee going up against Dwayne Wade and even an old Luau Deng, I think that's a little bit too much.
You're starting four, right?
Yes.
Never good when your starting four was drafted as a point guard. Unless it's Magic Johnson.
You know, I still expect for it to be a competitive series because, you know, Charlotte, they're a pretty tough team. They'll have their nights.
So competitive on a game-to-game basis competitive on a game-to-game basis or competitive that you actually expect them to win games? Do you expect them to
fight, or do you expect
them to actually win?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
how many games are you getting? Okay, two games.
I expect for them to win two games. I really do.
Okay, I was going to give them one, and so I'll stick with the one. And I just think, man, I don't know, Miami's one of those teams that this year that I'm not going to say that you overlook them, but say what you want about Dwayne Wade, he's the leader, man, and those guys are playing. And you got to give, I guess you got to give the coach credit. If we're quick to say what a coach isn't doing, I guess at some point you have to be fair and say, man, the coach deserves a little bit of credit, but, you know, D-Wade deserves credit, and then the other players as well because they fall in line. But, you know, that's what happens when you come into a locker room with a history, you know, and when I say history, you know, the last few years of doing things a certain way. So we'll see how it all plays out, Paris. We will see how that all plays out. Let's keep it moving. Where would you like to go? Which one do you want to go to next, Paris? Atlanta, Boston, or Cleveland, Detroit? I'll let you choose.
Atlanta, Boston.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm starting to think Atlanta, I picked this to go seven with Atlanta winning it at home, but, man, the way it's looking, Atlanta could possibly sweep these guys. I know Atlanta usually goes on the road and acts a little crazy once they don't have the Oregon, but Boston is really hurting. Bradley is out. And when you
that
look
hurts.
At Boston is the prime example of the difference between regular season and playoff basketball. Because in a regular season, if you're relatively healthy and if you have a solid system and if you play hard every night, you can always make the playoffs. You can win your 45 to 48, 49 games and make the playoffs. But when you get in the playoffs, you need difference makers. You know, difference makers make the difference in the playoffs. I know that's a very Captain Obvious statement, but Boston is a team that you can see right now, you know, they need a guy. You know, Isaiah Thomas, he shoots a lot. He's a little volume scorer, but he's not a guy. They need a guy, and this is why you keep hearing about Danny Ainge, you know, possibly trading for Kevin Love or doing whatever, because Danny Ainge knows until I get a guy, we'll be the type of team that'll make the playoffs 4 years in a row and go home in the first round 4 years in a row.
I want you to know why I laughed, because as you were saying that, it made me think of Coming to America, where I can't remember the character's name on the top of my head, James Evans, where he was telling Philly and Eddie Murphy, he was saying, if you guys work hard, you could have a house like this too one day.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about that as you were talking, because it sounded so much like if you work really hard and do everything you're supposed to do, we'll see. We'll see. It's
you too can make the playoffs.
Yeah, you too.
Atlanta
can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you know, Boston is an up and coming team, and key to that up and coming is the coming part. They're coming, but they're not there yet. And Atlanta is one of those teams, at least speaking for myself, and I'll speak for myself. Last year they were a number two seed, if I recall, and this year number four seed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give them respect. I'll admit, I don't give them respect. When I look at Atlanta, I just don't see a team that can win a championship.
Oh, no
but
doubt they can.
But that said,
they're
a professional team. They're a professional team.
Right.
And they should be Boston. I picked Boston, but, you know, it's kind of like – me picking Boston was kind of like when you pick a 12 seed over a 5. You know,
mm-hmm.
You probably shouldn't, but you're hoping that you pick the right one. You hope that you got the right upset. That was kind of where I was going, because Atlanta is the professional team. And then losing Bradley just pretty much cemented it. I don't think they can take that series, and I think you'll have Atlanta moving on to face Cleveland, which takes us to our next series, Paris. You have Cleveland. You have Detroit. There was a – I don't want to say a dust-up, but you had Stan Van a little upset And you can't necessarily blame him. LeBron was pretty much going to the whole, you know, you play 2K with certain people, and they'll take, like, back in the, you know, within the last couple of years, they'll take LeBron, they'll take Kobe, and they'll just go to the hole and just run to the hole, and they don't try to pass it. They don't try to move. They just try to go and dunk. That's kind of what
right.
LeBron was doing. And Stan Van was like, hey, you know, we can't touch him, but it's okay for him to push off, give a little chicken wing.
One time,
then
he
travel.
Elbowed the heck out of Stanley Johnson. He elbowed him
right.
and then complained to the referee. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I'm waiting for somebody, and I don't want to say I hate, but, you know, I'm 45. So when I say back in the day, automatically, you know, younger cats cringe a little bit because they think, oh, here comes the hate. But if this were back in the day, after that game, LeBron would have to be watching out.
Right.
Somebody has to put LeBron on his back. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying he's in the air, take him out. I'm not saying do anything
mm-hmm.
dirty. I'm simply saying somebody has to put their body on him tonight and let him know. You're not going to get freebies, man. You're not just going to come to the hole like a tank. You might, but we're going to throw something at you too. Because if you don't, you're going to let them – I mean, they're already more than likely going to sweep or give up one win only. You've got to do something to protect that paint. You can't let LeBron have free range. Detroit, Cleveland's up 1-0. And even with that said, it wasn't a blowout. Cleveland's up 1-0. What are your thoughts, Paris, on that series?
I think the mole man learned what it's like to be a point guard in pressure situations in a playoffs because he completely self-destructed in that
man,
last 5 minutes.
He?
Andre
didn't
Drummond. You know, it's crazy in this new age because Andre Drummond's about to be a max player, and I know me and you talked about this offline already, but this guy's
mm-hmm.
about to be a max player, but yet he's so inept on the free throw line that in the last 5 minutes of the game, Stan Van had to put Baines in the game because he was afraid they were going to foul this guy.
Yeah.
That should let Drummond know he really does need to work on that. I just think Detroit – I'm not a big Tobias Harris guy. I think that he's just an average player that for some reason sort of gets this hype that I don't know why. Because people are like, oh, they got Tobias Harris. At the end of the day, he's about 14, 15 points. I mean, nothing to write home to mama about. Sort of a one-trick pony, just sort of sit out and shoot and, you know, shoot threes. And, you know, Markieff Morris. Hey, I like the KCP kid. I told JB to keep an eye on him. You know, something about that kid. I think he has, you know, nice little future ahead of him. But Detroit, hey, they're rugged. You know, it's Central Division. They're used to seeing Cleveland. So they'll give him a dogfight. I'm with you 4-1. I think Detroit wins Friday night in Motown. Then Cleveland will take care of him Sunday and go ahead on and get rid of him next week. Cleveland. You know, the big three play like that, they're going to be tough to beat. You know, Kyrie, Love, those guys all had very, very good games. Of course, LeBron did his thing. So we'll just see moving forward.
Okay. Man, with that said, we've pretty much – safe to say that we've – have I missed anything NBA-wise?
No, we had a couple coaching hirings. Earl Watson got the job out here in Phoenix. And you have the guy, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. Oh, is it Gatlin? Not Gatlin. Got the job in New Jersey, the Atlanta assistant coach. And now it looks like in Minnesota, they interview Jeff Van Gundy, Tom Thibodeau. And I'm like, Jeff Van Gundy to Tom Thibodeau, you talk about like Mr. Electricity to Mr. Excitement, right? And they're also interviewing Mark Jackson for that job, which I feel is the best job out there. And Sacramento, Tibbs told Sacramento, thanks but no thanks. I've seen enough of Cousins up close and personal, I'll pass. So it looks like Vinny Del Negro is going in for that interview. And I want to believe Mark Jackson, and I'm forgetting another name. I saw three names with that one. I'm forgetting someone else is going to be interviewing for the Sacramento job.
Okay.
And as I posted it, who does Pat Ewing have to kill to get a head coaching job?
Dude, Pat Ewing has done everything you would expect a guy to do to get an opportunity. And you have to wonder, is he not good enough, or is he just being overlooked? And I don't have the answer.
I was going to say it's because he's black, but that doesn't work in this case. So
you were just going to go. You were going to slip to the old go-to, huh?
Yeah, I was just going. Hey, when in doubt, play the card, get it over with.
He know me.
It be done, but.
And
yeah.
For the people that don't regularly listen, Paris does not. He's not a fan of the card. This is him tongue in cheek. I just want everybody to know.
Very tongue in cheek.
Paris does not. Paris hates when people go to the race card automatically, and so do I. So that was definitely tongue in cheek. Paris, when you're looking at the NBA, just real quick, you're looking at the NBA and you look at playoffs today, and we as older cats, you know, I always tell the younger cats, it's hard for me to debate with somebody who's debating what they think they know when they didn't see it. Now, if you watch some tape or done some reading, I'll give you that. You know, knowledge is not just for those with eyes. Knowledge can be read, it can be, you know, it can be watched on video, it can be learned. You can listen and get knowledge. But comparing playoffs nowadays, the NBA playoffs nowadays, to the NBA playoffs of the past, what do you like about what we have now in the NBA? And what is it you don't like about the NBA playoffs now compared to what we used to have back in the rough ages when defense was, you know, a must?
Well, I miss the physical play, and I miss the rivalries and the pure hate back in the day. You know, Boston and Chicago and New York and Detroit and
right.
Charlotte, and these teams just hated each other. And out west, everybody hated L.A. You know, and it was, you know, who can knock them off? Then you went through that phase where, you know, with Seattle and Utah and Houston, and you know, you could just tell there was so much disdain during the playoffs. That's what I miss. Because even though it's playoff basketball and it's intense, it's still a certain amount of, hey, we're all friends out here sort of attitude. As far as liking these playoffs, I guess in a roundabout way, I like the fact that all the series are stretched out because it just lasts longer. And now I have
basketball. So you like the 7-game first-round series?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I honestly don't, because I remember when they switched to it, I was like, great, because you wanted more basketball. Now it's easy, you know, when things don't work out. You know, we always sort of, you know, we go POM, things aren't working out. It's like, oh, these need to be 5-game series. Look what's going on out with, you know. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I just like extra basketball. You know, I remember back in the day when it was 3-game series, so I went from 3 to 5 and 7. I like the 7. It just all depends on the series. You know, even if it was 5 games, a lot of these 1-8, 2-7 matchups, it would still be 3-0. It just would be over a little bit quicker. And teams would just have more time off in between to do nothing.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan.
It doesn't bother me. Yeah, it just doesn't bother me.
All right, well. Let me do this. This is what I'm going to do, because we're getting down to our last few minutes. I'm bringing back something that Mike and I used to do when we had our show on Thursday. Here was our little intro to what we call Trippin' Thursday.
I'm joking, but I'm serious. It's history in the making. I'm hoping that you're curious. And this is how you sound when you no longer care what anybody thinks. And this is how you sound when you no longer care. Because you know you're doing it. And this is rated R.
I figured I'd cut it off. Now, I was hoping Perk would call, because that's D1. D1 has been a friend of the show from back before people knew who D1 was, a Louisiana rapper from New Orleans. And I want to know, Paris, what are you tripping on? We're down to our last few minutes. What are you tripping on in the sports world, Paris? I didn't want you to have time to plan it. I just wanted to surprise you with it because I know you can come up with something that you're tripping on.
I got to think about this. You know what honestly I'm tripping on?
What's that?
Is the amount of Bulls fans that somehow think that Trae and Jimmy Butler would be the answer. Now, it's a difference to say.
Let me cut it real quick, Paris. Remember when we were kids? Remember when we were coming up and we would play ball and I liked to pass and you liked to shoot?
Right.
No, notice how I just gave you the assist right there to go off on Bulls fans. Here's the ball. Go ahead, Pete, shoot it.
You know, I'm just saying. I just think that it's really idiotic. Now, it's one thing to say, well, you know, we had a disappointing season. Let's explore all options. Fair enough. That's typical management talk, and I can understand.
That's a job. That's a GM's job.
So I have no problem with guard pack, you know. But hey, you just missed the playoffs, so now isn't the time to say this is our core. If no, you're pissed off, and you want them dudes in the locker room to know that you're pissed off. So I wouldn't expect them to say anything less than hey. Everything's on the table. We got to look at this thing because this sucked and we're not going to go through it anymore. But the amount of fans, there seem to be, we need to trade Jimmy Joker. We need to trade. Are you stupid? Are you just slow? Are you retarded? Or does he owe you a dub? Or is it a combination of all these things? Because you don't trade your best player. You don't trade the young guy under the favorable contract that's 15 to 20. He's around a 15 to 20 as far as ranking as best players in the NBA. You don't just trade those guys. If anything, he's a centerpiece as you readjust because the Bulls aren't in rebuild mode yet because of what we still have on the team. You have to really be garbage and, you know, be in the lottery and getting the top three pick to be a rebuild mode, and we aren't there. So that's where I am with that. And I'm also tripping off how just ignorant Johnny Manziel is and how this dude just doesn't get it and how people don't want to admit that they were just flat out wrong and they will go, oh, well, the only thing that's holding them back is, you know, what is off the field is. Well, genius, you were supposed to take that into, you know, into the equation when you were thinking about drafting this guy. If you have a guy that's a known knucklehead in college, and if you draft him and it doesn't work out, you can't say, well, this would have worked if it wasn't for the off-field stuff. No, you knew he had off-field issues.
Yeah, nobody should be surprised by anything with Johnny Manziel.
You took the risk, and this is what you get. Josh Gordon, I really don't know what the heck is wrong with Josh Gordon. And I'm tripping on Adam LaRoche because I'm sick of Adam LaRoche. I don't never want to hear his name again. I'm tired of this dude. One of the times I agreed with Stephen A. Smith was when he said today, good riddance. Because you know what? Good riddance, Adam LaRoche. Leave. Bye. Be gone. Nobody wants to hear your story. Nobody really cares because, in my opinion, you were just being weird anyway. You were taking advantage of a situation. And I heard a guy on the radio say, well, you know, his son was more like one of the ball boys. BS. His son had a locker in a doggone locker room.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a big difference.
He had a locker in the locker room. I was reading something where there were guys that were like minor leaguers that would come up that were trying out for the team that did not have lockers with the big league guys. They had to go to a separate room. But this 14-year-old is sitting in the nice clubhouse with the chairs and the TV enjoying himself.
Right.
I guess if I had to say what I was tripping on, it would pretty much start right there. With Adam LaRoche, he said he hasn't lost an ounce of sleep. Yet, this dude keeps talking about it. when I don't lose any sleep about a situation, I don't look to talk about it. And even if somebody
right.
calls me to talk about it, I'd be like, no, I'm good, Sean. I'm good. I don't want to talk about that. I'm done with that. That's over. I've done it. I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely tripping. I'm not even tripping on Adam LaRoche as much as I'm tripping on the fact that I even care enough to even let it get in my head. Other than that, though, the NBA playoffs are going on, man. We're going to have some good basketball action in the coming weeks. Like I've told you, I know a lot of people don't believe it. I watch all the Blackhawks match, so I watch more hockey playoffs than basketball. And
that's a goal, right? That's a goal.
I'm hoping that's a goal. It looks like it. It looked like it. But
let's see.
I'm going to be watching.
That's a goal,
I'm
going to
be watching this NHL. Yeah, I'm hoping, man.
That's
I'm hoping. For those that don't know, we're both watching the Blackhawks versus the St. Louis Blues. But I'll be watching more hockey than basketball, and that's really all I got, Pete. It's a good week. It's a good sports week. I'm feeling good. Nice breeze coming in through the windows here, so everything's love this way. With that said, it is time for us to get out of here. Darvish, we see you. We appreciate you calling in. We have a 323 area code. I don't know if that was Tom. He's called a couple times. Tom, if that's you, man, we appreciate you calling in. If it's not Tom, we still appreciate whoever it is calling in. JB called in. He broke out. Wood called in with our soccer report. Always appreciate Wood giving us a soccer report. So on our way out the door, and all of our other callers, we appreciate you as well. On our way out the door, Paris, do you have anything you'd like to say before we get out of here?
Oh, yes. The Blackhawks just got robbed. When it initially
That's
went
goal,
across
man.
The goal line, it was a goal. Watch right, freeze it there. That's a goal.
Yeah, that puck went across.
Then it fell back. Yes, then it fell back.
I can't remember the rule. If the rule is completely across, if it's completely across, then I don't know.
Well, it was
that's
across when it first went through. Yeah, I feel like we just got screwed on that one.
Okay, I'm gonna have to rewind it. But did you have
anything? We've been robbed.
Did you have anything show wise? Paris is frustrated. Did you have anything show wise before we got out of here?
No. Great show. Thanks for calling in. It said next week we will get to the NFL draft. We'll have more playoff coverages. We might, let's see, that'll be Tuesday. We might even have a couple series that are over by then, and we can maybe preview a couple of spicy second round matchups because the second round is going to be real good in the West. First round, not so much, but second round, a lot of pressure.
And I'll be talking hockey, even if it's just to myself, which I kind of
Fair
did
enough.
Today.
Yeah.
I started the show talking hockey to myself. So, all right, cool. Well, once again, I want to appreciate everybody for calling in. Appreciate the callers, our regulars. I want to appreciate the new callers. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Check us out Tuesdays, 347-637-3859. If you're listening on Blog Talk, if you're one of the callers, check out the website bdsirnetwork.com or blogtalkradio.com/thegamev1. And that's THA game V1. So until next week, my man P-Dog, I'm Corey D. We're out of here. We'll see you next week. Appreciate you all again.
All right, bro. Peace.
Surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling. Laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling. Came across the barbershop, stepped into the building. Real life sports talk, real entertainment. Might not really keep his ear into the pavement. Finger on the pulse of the industry, save it. You don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh.
Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. Two shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check this.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn.